The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Craig Bogart, creator of The Ineffables, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 181. I hope that you are listening in a very warm place, because man oh man, as of the recording of this episode here, Wednesday afternoon, it is downright frigid out there. I'm telling you, man, it is so cold. I don't think my furnace has stopped running. Like, it's on like 15-minute increments where it's off, and then 15 minutes later, boom, it's back on. Anywho, nonetheless, I'm glad you're joining me here for what's going to be an incredibly fun episode. The man that joins me on this edition is Victor Dandridge Jr. He's the man behind Vantage In-House Productions, which brought you such great comic books as The Samaritan, The Trouble with Love, Origins Unknown, The Kindergartians, and Old Crazy and the 40 Ounces of Death, all of which have been critically acclaimed books. But Victor has a new batch of books that are coming out, and we're going to talk about those. We're also going to talk about some new things happening with his You Create Comics line, which is a kind of like a language arts English curriculum mixed in with how to create comics. It's a really cool line, and we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about, of course, Black, White, and Red All Over, which is a YouTube show that Victor's a part of, along with Ryan from Comic Town here in Columbus, where they kind of review new comics that come out each and every Wednesday. So we got a lot to talk about. It's going to be a fun episode. I always look forward to talking to Victor. And thanks, Victor, for taking some time out of your very busy schedule to jump on Skype and chat with me. But I got some news that I'd like to share. And that news is that the PVD Cast has a new sponsor. And that sponsor is World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from any era. I mean, whether you're talking about the Golden Era, Silver Era, or even the Bronze Era, they got them, man. They have just a giant plethora of comic books. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, and various other collectibles. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff, or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can even search for them on Facebook at facebook.com/wgcomics to get all the details about what's happening at the shop. And I'd personally like to thank Jeff for giving me the opportunity to have them as a sponsor. And again, if you stop by the store, please let Jeff know that you heard about World's Greatest from me right here on the PVD Cast. That'll help me out, and that'll help him out as well. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, it's my conversation with Victor Dandridge Jr. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this afternoon with Victor Dandridge. Victor, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm back, y'all.
You know what? I looked it up. The last time you were on this podcast in this type of a capacity, September of 2017, episode number 131.
Man, it's too long. It's too long.
I know.
What happened since then? Jeez.
I know. We're going to have to talk about all the things that went on. Because you know there's new listeners right now going, I don't know who this Victor guy is.
Victor guy. I am the hardest working man in comics. It says so on my banner. I stand by this. Hashtag HWMIC.
You stand by that literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively, which is why it's a genius sort of... Dude, did I ever tell you that... Funniest thing in the world. It was a couple shows, a couple years ago. I got checked about having that on my banner.
Who checked you on that?
The great Neil Adams. He sees it and he's like, I thought I was the hardest working man in comics. And like, he just looks at me. And I'm like, No, Neil. Clearly, you're the best working man in comics. It's not that hard for you. Spun it like a
nice
baby. Pew! And he was like, oh, I like that. And he's never bothered me about it since.
Well, you know what, though? But you wrote a blog about it. About that moniker. So, do you want to share real quick why you decided to put that blog out there?
Yeah. Okay. So the whole title "Hardest Working Man in Comics" came about from a funny haha. Like, it was a joke because of how many shows I would do in a calendar year. Like, literally, since Vantage In-House Productions really kicked off on a con circuit in 2012, I don't think I've done less than 12 conventions in a year, right? And like, literally, that could be spaced out to a con a month, and that's a lot. Like, I will fully recognize that is a lot. The highest we've gone is somewhere in the 36 to 50 events in a calendar year. So that's almost literally a comic book event every week. Like, that's been my schedule for years. And so, you know, it became this thing of like, man, you got to be the hardest working man in comics. And I'm like, you know what? That's a hell of a brand right there. Let me just go ahead and use that. So there came a point, like over the last few months, where I really am, you know, I've got this clock in front of me. And October 2020, Vantage In-House Productions will be celebrating 10 years of existence. And I'm like, all right. I've got to redefine what being the hardest man, you know, hardest working man in comics actually means now. Like, okay, I did the whole, you know, all bunch of shows things. I did, you know, the books things. What does that mean to me right now? Because for me to be the hardest working man in comics, it's not about looking back at what I've done. What am I doing? You know, what's my current place? What is currently happening that keeps me at that position versus anybody else that is coming up in the ranks, been here, trying to exceed, you know, what is it for me? And you're right. I wrote an article. I've got a digital magazine that I'm doing as part of my brand. It's called On the Horizon, and it's all about Vantage In-House Production. So the things that are coming up, the things that we've done, you know, all these different facets of my business brand. And it's a way to kind of introduce people to that brand that have never seen it before. If you've never read our books, you can read some of our magazine, and that's cool. We've got our second issue of the year coming out, if not this week, next week. So it's you know, we're trying to go for a monthly schedule. But yeah, in the first issue for this year, I wanted to talk about that and say, you know, there are things that right now, my goal is to put work out at a capacity that I was not doing so over the last, you know, 8 years. You know, what way can I do some new stuff that's going to hit people over the head and be like, wow, this guy is killing it right now. So that's kind of where everything is going for me to make that claim. So at this point, I'm a celebrity moderator, right? Comic
sure.
Moderator at different conventions across the country. I am producing, like, I have the second phase of Vantage In-House Production books, and we have approximately 6 titles that we will be launching over the next 2 years. I'm literally embroiled in a challenge to myself that's called Faster. Every 2 weeks, I have to produce a script. Every 2 weeks.
You know what? Let's talk a little bit about the phase 2 books, if you will.
Yeah.
Because there's a ton of them. You highlighted many of them in the On the Horizon magazine that came out, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago was issue 1 for that? So what titles are you kind of the most excited to work on? Because, I mean, from what I have here, and you can correct me, Victor, you have Never Too Late.
Yes.
Gloriana Pax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Night Watch.
Cool, buddy. I got some stuff for y'all.
All right. Samaritan's The Mantle.
Yes.
Vantage. Safeguard. Point of Authority. : Family Ties.
That's right.
What else? Which other ones am I forgetting? Oh, No Win.
Yeah.
No, and then,
No Win is, that's the last one of the group. Like, that's the last one that I'm going to do, out of this bunch. There's also Wonders of the Great Beyond.
Right. I was just going to mention that one though, too.
It's coming. Wow. To say if there's one that I am most excited for, I would have to be lying. Like, I couldn't pick a specific one.
Okay.
What I can say is I'm very excited for what the combination of Never Too Late, Vantage, and No Win mean for what Vantage In-House is overall. I'm very, very interested in that. I'll spoil. I don't mind. Just a little bit. So when Vantage In-House first started, they were, and this is funny, like this is literally an article that I'm writing for the second issue of On the Horizon. So you're getting some serious insider information right here. So when I first started, all of the titles that were for Vantage In-House, Wonder Care Presents The Kinder Guardians, Origins Unknown, The Trouble With Love, and The Samaritan, and Old Crazy and the 40 Ounce of Death, they were all standalone titles. They were not created with any sort of intention of interacting. They were just stories I wanted to tell. You know, that was it. The whole point of Vantage In-House was for me to have an imprint that I could walk away from, just because I'm always thinking about what's going to be next. So
right.
I put all these things under an imprint, and IPs are huge, huge, you know, value pieces in transmedia options these days. That was always my intention was, okay, you know, if somebody came through and they were interested in one of those properties and they gave me a huge option deal, then I would be able to funnel that through Vantage In-House Productions, get a lot more stuff created, and possibly option off even more stuff. If somebody came through and just like, I mean, I swear this guy is my mentor. He's a great guy. Mark Miller, he sold Miller World to Netflix. And now he's actually producing new Miller World properties under the Netflix banner, and it's guaranteed that they're either going to be TV shows and or movies. So like really paying attention to him, that's the level of stuff that I'm trying to do. So we had these individual stories that didn't touch, and we put them out, and the response was nuts. Like, I have to admit, like, I'm not moving hundreds of units, you know, or thousands of units really. But the response that I've gotten from the people that have read it, no one has ever read one of my books and be like, this is crap and I don't like it. You know, no one. I've gotten, yo, this is really good. What's next? You know, is there going to be more? I want to see more of this. I want to see where this part of the story could go, blah, 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 blah. And it really kind of sparked this notion like, well, maybe I should continue some of these things.
If I may interject, so is phase two going to have a little more of a universe, as I use air quotes that no one can see?
I'm putting down. I like it. I like it. Yes.
Okay.
That's literally why Vantage and Never Too Late and No Win are so important, because they firmly connect the whole of Vantage In-House as a shared multiverse. And it's very, very, like, it's a bold move to, one, take these individual titles and connect them as a shared universe. But please note that I said shared multiverse, and that is for a specific reason. There are some things that are very, very complex in the geeky way that they all fit together. But once you see it, it's really kind of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Is this going to be a bigger challenge for you to do this multiverse, because you have to kind of, I'm assuming, not only plot out where things are going to go, how they're going to happen, but to be just bluntly honest, remember that, oh, in that issue, you know what I mean?
You are 100% right. And that's literally the basis of this article that I'm writing, is how, like, basically scared I am of this. You know, these are books that I've built my career off of. And one, it's already a daunting thing to try to go back to that well in general. Like, a lot of times when anybody says, like, you've gone back to the well, it's a signal of failure. It's the notion that you tried to break out into something else and you couldn't do it, so you went back to your safe zone. And I'm trying to not look at it like that, but really look at it and say, okay, I have new stories that I want to tell, but there's so much, you know, love and such a huge request for me to go back and expand on what was there before. Can I do all of that at the same time? Can I expand on the stories that already existed and then build something more off of those to make it all connect? And over the last, about 3 years, that's what's been living in my head, all of that. There are parts that, okay, so here we go. We're going to throw this out here. Okay, so Wonder Care Presents The Kinder Guardians. I have two students in that series, and it's an all-ages friendly series. I call it Muppet Babies Meets the Justice League. And they're two twin brothers, Castor and Pollux. Their father is a superhero named Paragon. Paragon's father is the dad in The Trouble with Love. So the son in The Trouble with Love is their dad. And so I've just created this generational piece here. And if you actually look at the boy's costume, one of them looks more like his dad's costume and one of them favors his grandfather's costume. And there's so many different things like the serendipitous nature of it all, and it all comes together in a way that is just kind of crazy. Justin Castaneda, who is a phenomenal co-creator and does the artwork for it, he would slide in little haha inside jokes, and he actually put toys of both Paragon and Apex Prime in the Wonder Care series, and he just
okay.
And I'm like, let me tell you why that's actually funny. And he's like, are you serious? Like, wait, they're actually, I was like, yeah, that's a family thing right there. I was like, you just built something and you don't even know it. And he's like, oh my God. So all these different parts and pieces are fitting together, and it's pretty amazing. I have to admit, like, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm gonna. But the way that they're all kind of falling together, it's brilliant.
So what's the order of release for these phase two books? Do you have that set up, I presume?
Of sorts. So the big thing for me, and this is a big deal in the indie comics world. So one of the things that constantly hinders the credibility of indie comics creators is the inconsistency of our publications. That's huge. You know, we get one book out and then it could take years for another one to come out. And there's a lot of things that can change, you know, tonally, the market can change. There's all kinds of stuff. So for me, the biggest thing is once I get all the pages finished of a series, I need the cover for the next series to be done because I want to promote the cover of the next issue in that particular one. You know what I mean? So again, pulling back from Mark Miller, he did that when he was doing Super Crooks and Superior. He would actually have the cover art for the next issue at the back of that book. So there was really no question of whether or not there was going to be another one. It was just a question of when is it coming? But this is a clear indicator that it's on its way. So right now I've got virtually all of issue one of Never Too Late finished. Like the only thing I'm waiting on is the cover for issue two. And I've already, you know, the artist is already working on it. I've seen, you know, layouts. We've actually had a couple conversations. There might be a variant cover based on what he's showing me, which is beautiful. But that's going to be the first one to drop. As soon as I get that cover in, I'm releasing Never Too Late number one. And following that, like, so I just finished the scripting for Point of Authority Family Ties number one and Gloriana Pax number one as part of my project Write Faster, which, like I said, every 2 weeks I got to have a new book. By doing those books won't go into production until I finish issue two's script. So that way we know exactly what the cover should be for issue two. So it's really kind of balancing everything out like that. Never Too Late is a little different. I actually have all of Never Too Late finished. So that's a four-part story. The only thing I have to get finished is the artwork. And that's going to be a big play up of getting the financials coming in to cover that. So there's a lot of things that I'm playing with to try to make sure that the funding comes in. You know, low-key robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, my Kickstarter over here, and if that goes over, then that pays for something over here, and you know, all these different things. But the whole point is to get content out. That's my whole point.
You know what? And I'm just going to throw it out there. There are some big companies that sometimes don't get their production schedule set to go.
True.
So you know, I don't want to mention any names, but as a comic book geek, there's been some times where I've sat and waited for months and months and months for the next issue to come out.
And sometimes you're still waiting. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to say there's a Ultimate Daredevil series that stopped at like issue three, and that was like 14 years ago. The Ultimate Universe has died, and I think it's coming back, and we still don't have that book. So,
There's quite a few that I can name like that. I'm like,
Mm-hmm. We just gonna forget that story ever happened. Okay, we just forgot that story. Okay, I got you.
I mean, hey, Kevin Smith, Spider-Man and Black Cat from the like late 90s took forever to get done.
What if Kevin Smith was writing the Ultimate Daredevil book too?
Oh, really?
Well, he might have a little track record. I love you, Kev. I love you. You know I do. Shout out to the clerk, 25 years, but get that Daredevil stuff out. Come on, man, stop playing.
So let's talk a little bit about Write Faster. You've been using that hashtag quite a bit. Yes. Was that just something that you wanted to do to motivate yourself? Hey, folks, I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Victor Dandridge for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. I mean, they've got single issues, collections, graphic novel, toys, even collectibles. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, all you got to do is sign up for their pull system, and you'll even get 20% off pre-ordered comics. Man, that's a heck of a deal. So you can check them out online by going to wgcomics.com or jump on over to the store located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville and let them know that you heard about their great store from yours truly right here on the PVD cast.
No, I have to give full deference to my friend Jeremy Tyler. He's out of Salt Lake, Utah. And I met Jeremy at a show in Reno, Nevada. And he liked the pixel art stuff that I was doing and really wanted to see what else I had. And I was sharing my books. And he became a, you know, huge fan of the writing. And we became really good friends. And so it would never fail. Anytime we talked, whether on social media, you know, on a chat, whatever, he'd be like, yo, I need more books. Write faster. And like he would always put that as a hashtag, write faster, write faster. And I'm like, I know. And so, like, looking at it, like, that's a huge motivating force. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody that wants your work. And so I'm like, you know what? That needs to be my mantra right there. Project, write faster. Get it done. Like, let's make this happen. And I put that up. And it was funny. I put it up on Instagram. And he was like, did you just take my hashtag? I said, I did. You keep using it at me. I'm taking it. It's real. And he said he couldn't be happier. He's like, he checks in on me. He's like, yo, how are you coming on it? You know, are you surviving? Are you making it? And so far, I've actually finished days ahead every time that I've been up for one. So the two that I've knocked out so far, I actually was able to finish in approximately like 10 days each, which is great. I will give the caveat. I have not put the dialogue in. This is one where I'm literally putting the panel descriptions. So when I need to send this off to the artist, they at least can start laying it out and I can then use, and this is like a kind of a mix of, scripting method versus the Marvel style plot method, where sometimes I'll need to see exactly how much room the artist has given me in order to get that good dialogue flow. I don't want to necessarily say all this stuff is going to be in here. But then when I see the pages, I'm like, I don't need to see all that, you know. Let me calm this down a little bit. So it's a way to kind of, you know, match the two ideas of giving them the opportunity to really get invested in the story, hear good things, no dialogue in the way. You just know the visuals. And then I can take what they've done and, you know, bring that true collaborative spirit and feed off of what their imagery is. So, yeah, Project Write Faster. I think it's supposed to take me until June. And that should cover approximately 13 scripts for me to do between the beginning of the year and then. So
one question that just popped in my head, and I don't think I've ever asked you this. What is a typical day like for you? Like, do you have a specific time where you have to write? Or do you just like, oh, I got 2 hours, I'm going to go ahead and start banging out this script. Like, walk us through what's a typical day for you?
Oh my God, this is about to be embarrassing. All right. So home mogul. Right. That's what I call myself. Stay at home mogul. I have a 18 month old daughter who I'm a stay at home dad with. Right. So all the things that I do on my day are all centered around also taking care of this toddler monster. In fact, I've actually started using her in some of my posts where I said, like, she's my new boss, you know, and it's funny because she has taken to wanting to be a part of my creative process to the point where, like, if I'm drawing, she'll like pull up some paper and she'll start drawing too. I was literally working a couple, like maybe last week, and I ended up taking like a series of photos where it looks like, and this is not even a joke, she low-key kind of did this. She kind of like takes over my space and is like, no, Dad, let me show you what to do. Picks up a color pencil and starts drawing over what I'm doing. And then she has like this little plastic VTech phone and she's like looking at it like she's looking at reference. And then, like, going back and drawing more stuff, I'm like, where did you see this? Like, what is this right now? Of course, I'm waiting for the, I learned it by watching you. But that, you know, she's a part of it. So my day starts approximately 7:30 in the morning. I get up and I take her sister, my 9-year-old daughter, Harold, to school. We all go together, drop Harold off, boom, we come back. That is when I am a slave to PBS Kids for at least 2 hours. Me and Daniel Tiger, we homies, okay? Dinosaur Train, that's my life, okay? Pipe plus cat, like we go. Okay, that's all. I'm slashing bubbles. What's up? You know, shout out. So I'm on my daddy duty, and a lot of times, which is great. I'm so thankful that I have this. Shout out to my lady for actually getting this for me for Christmas 2 years ago. I have an iPad Pro, and it allows for me to turn this on in the kitchen, and I can either cook breakfast, clean up a little bit, or I can literally start working. We have a huge kitchen dining area, and my lovely lady painted one of our inside walls with chalkboard paint. And so I actually have the ability to stand there and map out anything that I'm trying to work on or trying to figure out on this huge wall that's you know, total blackboard style. So that's the start. You know, that's a place for me to make plans, scheduling, what am I working on, anything like that. If there's some stuff that I'm trying to, you know, figure out and make right, that works. If anybody goes to my Facebook page right now, my Victor Dandridge Jr. page, the profile picture is of myself and my daughter, who is standing beside me, also working on this board. It was the funniest, cutest moment. I'm taking notes, and I look down, and here is this, you know, 2 foot shadow scribbling on the chalkboard wall, and she's like looking at me like, "Daddy, look, I'm doing it." And I'm like, "Oh my god, like, this is brilliant." So I snapped that picture, and I was like, "This is beautiful. Like, this is why I do what I do." Because clearly she's taken up this mantle, and it's fantastic. So let's see. After that, I might get about 2 hours of unbridled work, because by that time she's tired and she takes a nap. And that's when I can really pour into whatever I need to, whether that's writing an outline for a story, figuring out the different articles that I'm writing for on the horizon, or getting my lesson plans together for the Ucreate Comic School that'll be launching soon. So sometimes it's even coming up with new Ucreate products. I literally have about 3 to 4 different products that I have not launched yet in production for Ucreate Comics that I'll do during that time period.
Well, you know what? You're talking about it. Let's just tell the listeners at home, can you give a brief overview of what Ucreate Comics actually is?
Yes, yes. So it always starts with a story, because I'm a writer and I like to talk and I like to hear my own voice. I was a kid that didn't like to read. Like, I hated reading as a child. And that was all changed once I found comic books. And so because of that notion of, you know, comic books helping my education, I created Ucreate Comics as a way to give back to the medium. And it started off as like a program that you can bring to classrooms that would stimulate, you know, students in terms of like creative writing, critical thinking, all that fun stuff, but using comic books as the basis. And over the years, it's grown to feature a product line that's 10 products strong in different areas of writing, visual art, actual art boards. If you are a pro and you want to, you know, do full size pages, we have paper for you. Literal, like, I think it's 50 page or 50 sheet pads for only $20. You know, if you go to your Strathmore or your Blue Line, you're paying close to $1 per page. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, there's no reason why we should be paying that much in order to make comics. That's a good way to push everybody into digital, you know, stuff and leaving the traditional stuff behind, because it's just not cost effective. So let's make that a little bit more inclusive and honestly conclusive of how good traditional comics are. So that's what Ucreate Comics is all about. It's a product and programming line geared towards using comic books to stimulate education and also to encourage you to make comics. Because my theory is kids that make comics will read comics, and kids who read comics will read anything. So there it is. You know, that's my push.
And right now you have a Ucreate Comics workshop every Wednesday at Marion Franklin Community Center. How's that going?
This is kind of a crazy thing. I've had this program almost as long as Vantage In-House has existed, right? And the only time that I was really effective locally was during the summer through the Columbus Metropolitan Library Summer Reading Program. And I'm like, that's not enough. Like, I've got to figure out ways to engage far more in the student base. And upon looking into it, I found very quickly, schools don't have a lot of money. You know, this is an extracurricular activity. There's not a lot of funding that's going around for that, despite how much teachers like it, parents like it, students like it, principals like it. They don't have the money. So I'm trying to you know, devise different ways that I'm going to affect that. I've got a Kickstarter that's going to be dropping next month where the goal is $2,500. That's it. But what it does is it actually pays for the products for me to take my Ukraine comic stuff to 10 schools in Southern Columbus. So that's up to 2,000 students that will get an hour's worth of programming for this amount of money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let me try to find a way to cover the cost so I can still give these people that need it this product, this opportunity. And looking at that further, I'm like, well, charity begins at home. Let me go to my local rec center and see if I can get some local kids, kids that are around me, you know, whether they know it or not, whether I know it or not, that there's a comic creator right here in your neighborhood that is out here doing fun stuff. And I presented it to Marion Franklin Rec Center. Brianna, shout out to her. She's the rec center manager. And she was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. I love this. When can you start? And we've got a 5-week course. We've got 2 sessions every Wednesday. The first one is for younger kids. I think it's ages 6 through 12, and it's more project based. So every time they come in, they'll make something that they get to take home with them, and it'll be easy peasy. You know, if you come in that one time, there you go, you're good. And then we've got the older group that's 7+. You can be 18 years old in this class. I don't mind. But that one is more programming based. So every week we're going to explore an aspect of comic book creation, and it's going to build up. It's cumulative to finally get you to a point where at the end, you can do a full comic book all on your own if you wanted to. You know, you'll have all the skill sets. You'll have all the, you know, theories and things that you need to think about in order to do a comic book, you know.
Hey, but if you are 18, you have to share snacks, right?
I mean, you might have to. You should probably bring your own snacks. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're 18, you've already gone to the store and you bought your snacks, you might have to share them.
You definitely should. I mean, I'm just saying, you might have to make a snack run for me, okay? Gummies, that's all I'm saying. No chocolate. I'm allergic to it. Don't bring that. That's outlawed in the class. But, you know, yeah, you're 18, you got to share. That's right.
So you also want to expand out on Ucreate. Off air, you were telling me you were looking to do like a 3-week program as well?
Yes, I'm actually working with the Urban League. So another organization that has a specific after-school program at a Sherwood Middle School, if I'm not mistaken. They have asked me to come out and do like a truncated version of the 5-week course in only 3 weeks. They've got a dedicated student base of like 15 to 20 students, and where I'm game. I'm like, okay, let's make this work. And it again is coinciding with next month. It's going to be a very, very busy one, but it's kind of perfect because a year ago, February marked as Black History Month. It was fantastic, but we got Black Panther to drop. And so here we are a year later, I get to be that thing is, you know, a Black comic creator dealing with urban kids and showing them what's possible in Black entrepreneurship, Black geekdom, and really kind of showing them that there is something cool that you can explore that doesn't have to be, you know, dangerous. It doesn't have to be super provocative. It doesn't have to get you in trouble under any circumstance or be a threat to your life or anything like that. You can actually find success in something as simple as superheroes. You know, let's play with that. Let's show them what is out there.
You know, let's talk a little bit about, you just mentioned, you know, being a little bit provocative and whatnot. You know, your previous titles, you know, you've even admitted yourself that you have some that are a little more adult oriented, like The Samaritan, for an example. Old Crazy and the 40 Ounces of Death. Right. Do you, how's the writing process differ from an adult book versus maybe something like The Kindergartians? Do you find it challenging or no?
No. I think it's the opposite. To write for adult stuff is easier because I am an adult.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where, so wrote The Samaritan, boom, it was good, bestseller, fantastic. But I realized that because of the mature content, both in language and some of the things that are involved, I can't sell it to the audience that might actually benefit the most from it, which would be teenagers, you know, I don't want to specify any particular age groups or racial groups or anything, but urban teens could use The Samaritan. So I was like, well, let me go back and do a teen-friendly version of it. And I found that the hardest thing to do. It was like, how do I truncate the cursing? You know, it was so dumb. Like, you'd think, you know, for years, we're little kids. We talk about each other. Your mama so this, you know, your daddy so that. I could not think of a single riff that I could put in place of a straight up, you know, cuss word. Like, it was difficult. So, like, honestly, dialing it back sometimes is the harder way. To write Wonder Care, like, I've been working on issue 6. I had to go back and kind of redo it. And to try to get myself in the right frame of mind, I have to have, this is not even a joke, playing in the background, I'll have to throw on a series of Saturday morning cartoons and have one of my favorite breakfast cereals to put myself in that kid mentality of how to write Wonder Care.
So you're telling me you don't want to do like they do on cable television where they just edit out like F words with, you know, refrigerator or whatnot?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to USA this. That's like, there's nothing worse than a Sam Jackson movie on USA when you're like, motherfinger? You're like, that's not even a word. Like, what is that? What is a motherfinger? Muffin fluffin'? Like, what? No. That sounds horrible. And really, it's because, and it's funny. So when I first started writing, it was for Freestyle Comics. And the flagship title, Hotshot, I wrote the first 6.5 books. And we had that edge to it. And we kind of like realizing like, hey, I might want my grandmother to read this. I was like, I need to go back and fix this. And so Mike and I, the creator artist for it, we argued like hard. He's like, well, we'll just bleep it out. I was like, yeah, but it's still there. Like, you can't. You can't read that and be like, I don't know what they're saying. Yes, you do. Yes. You do. If we're really going to edit this, let's edit it so that we don't need that language. Like, let's really make an effort to tell this story to an age group that will make sense. And I think that's a real challenge sometimes, but it's a worthwhile challenge because it's really making something accessible to an audience that you're trying to aim for.
Well, let's talk about a few of your other projects, including your YouTube show that you are the co-host of. Black, White, and Red All Over.
Yes, yes. We just hit 250 episodes, man. It's crazy. I can't even, like, it's, like, it was funny. They put the first couple of minutes of the very first episode as, like, intro filler for the 250th. Man, were we green. Oh, my God. Ryan and I, we look so uncomfortable. We didn't know what we were doing.
Now, for the listeners that don't know, it is a comic book review show.
Yes, yes, yes. Comic book review series that we do every week. It's non-spoiler on our main show. We like to talk about the books, but we really want to encourage you to read them. And it doesn't make any sense for us to get into all the spoiler pieces and then be like, you should read it. It's like, well, I don't have to now. Thank you. we film at Comic Town, which is my favorite shop in the city. Sorry, I love you, but... It's my favorite shop. It's so large, and the experiences that I've had at Comic Town are unmatched anywhere else in the city. Like, they really are. That is no diss to World's Greatest, though. I love World's Greatest. Jeff is good people. So I love you, Jeff. You're fantastic people. I love your shop. I'm still disappointed that the discount dollar theater that's over like by where Jeff's shop is, that it closed down, because I used to go there all the time. So the connections between the two would have been phenomenal. So,
wait, you don't know. They tore that down.
They tore it all the way down?
Yeah, it's an Aldi's now. It's a brand new Aldi's.
Oh my God. I knew it was gone. I didn't know they had torn it down.
Yep. But
man, it's like we don't have those anymore. Like, yeah. We literally don't have the discount theaters anymore.
Right. There used to be the one over on Sawmill that I loved. I went to all the time.
Woo! Like, that's... Okay, so here we go through comic shop history. There used to be one at Scarborough Mall, and it had a dollar theater, and it had British Paper Mill. So, like, that connection of like discount movie theater and a comic shop, that was my boyhood dream right there, man. Like, listen, the 90s was good to us. I feel bad for y'all kids today. Y'all might have your Netflix, and you can watch, you know, Saturday morning cartoons at the click of a button, but y'all don't know the beauty of having $20. Going to a movie theater, watching a movie that you've seen probably like 6 times 3 months ago, but you get to watch it one more again for like a dollar, and then spending the rest of your money at the comic shop. Joy.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Back to Black, White, and Red All Over. we got off on a tangent.
I'm sorry,
anyways.
I'm sorry.
You guys got merchandise now.
We do, or well, we will.
Or you will, yeah.
It's in production right now. It was one of those things where we've now hit 1,000 subscribers. So thank you guys for listening to us. We really appreciate it, and welcome to all you new guys that are coming over after listening to this. But I thought about it, and it's one of those weird things where we have a lot of content, and we should be marketing off of that content and leveraging ourselves really off of it. So I came up with this cute little design. I will give a dollar to anyone that can tell me, other than my ex-wife, because she knows because I told her, where I got the idea of the image for this new headshot series of Ryan and I. If anyone can tell me where that came from, I will give you a dollar. That is a real, real offer.
Are you afraid that you may end up with a garage full of black, white, and red all over t-shirts?
No.
Because see, I'm not lying. I'm afraid of that. Like, I would like to do merch, but I'm like, I'm afraid that, like, right here behind me would be nothing but a gigantic, like, stack of coffee mugs and
no, the trick is, and this is what I learned from being a publisher and doing cons, is to only produce in moderation. I can give you access to buy it yourself, but if I physically have to produce it, only do a little bit of product, right? So I'm thinking, this is so dumb that I'm going to say this, but I'm absolutely going to do this. I'm going to get a shirt that's going to have strictly my face on it. Ryan's going to have a shirt that strictly has his face on it. We're going to have mugs that have both of us on it. But that's like the most kind of like stuff that I plan on physically making ourselves. But we'll make t-shirts available that you can order online that'll have both of us. You can have the cups. There's no reason for us to spend all that money if we don't have to, you know. I don't mind splitting the difference with like Redbubble or Screened or, you know, some merch, you know, place like that where they've got to hold on to the stock and the content and all that stuff. And just as our fans want it, oh, let me click that, do, and then it comes to them. If we get a couple dollars off of that, that's a win. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that guy that says, well, I guess we could have gotten more if we had produced it. Yeah, you also had to spend more too. Like that's the barrier of entry for profit is way easier if we don't have to produce a lot. I take some money as opposed to none money. That's
there you go. Well, support the guys. Go over and check out the merchandise and check out Black, White, and Red all over on YouTube.
So good. Comictown TV, it's a good place.
Let's talk about one final project here, because you have recently branched off into the world of podcasting.
Yes.
How's it treating you?
It's fun. To be fair, I technically it's not new. I've actually been doing it for maybe a year. I'm an off and on co-host for Hall of Justice podcast. It was started by Seth Everett, who people might know from I think he's on NBC. He's got Sports with Friends podcast. So he's a sports newscaster by trade. And we met on the con circuit. He was doing work with, I won't say their name, but he was doing work with a company that he's no longer doing work with. And that's how I met him. And we hit it off real, real easy. Really nice guy. He lives in Jersey, you know, works in New York. And we clicked really, really well. And he hit me up and was like, dude, I want you on the show. And I'm like, okay, cool. Not a problem. I'm game for that. And, you know, we would do a couple of episodes and then he would have, you know, other guests on. Like, we actually had Zack Snyder on like right before Batman v Superman came out. And I mean, that one got like 100,000 downloads and it was huge. It was big, big numbers. Recently, we've teamed up with Underdog and they are a marketing firm. They usually focus on sports stuff, which is how they found Seth. And he was like, look, we got to have Hall of Justice with it. And they're like, sounds good. It's content. Let's bring it. And like, we actually were rated at one point, we were like in the top 200 of all podcasts on iTunes, and under the film TV category, we had gotten into the top 10, which was, I mean, huge for me. I'm just like, what? That's nuts. Like, seriously? And yeah, we've had some great episodes recently. There was the Stan Lee tribute. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, Seth tonight, like literally tonight, is at the Reign of Superman premiere. And he's going to have the next coming episodes are going to feature like roundtable discussions of the voice cast of Reign of Superman.
Wow. Cool.
So I'm just riding that coattail, baby. I'm co-signing my name hard on that one. Absolutely.
Well, let's, as we're starting to get up to the time limit here, let's talk about what you're going to be doing this weekend, because Saturday, which is February 2nd, you're going to be at the Laughing Ogre from 2 to 4.
Yes, I am. Gib, shout out to Gib. Laughing Ogre is one of the greatest, like, longest standing comic shops in the city. I have great loves for them, too. I really do love, like, most of the comic shops in the city. I'm not going to. But, yeah, he called me up and was like, hey, we've got a signing coming in. Oh my God, I just lost her name.
Is it Lisa Sterles? Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, Sterle. She'll be there, and I've never met her, which is crazy. She's a local artist, came out of CCAD, has some phenomenal work out, and I guess they're doing a signing, and rather than have her be there by herself, I got invited to kind of co-sign along with her, and she's the top bill. No problem with that. It gives me an opportunity to meet another, you know, fantastic creator who's worked for Boom Studios, all these different great places, and has some phenomenal work. So I'll be there representing Vantage In-House and You Create Comics, trying to get people, you know, last minute to sign up for the You Create Comics School, and also grabbing anybody that might be a student that wants some You Create Comics material. I'll have some stuff on hand that you can try out and see what you need, what you like. So we've got all kinds of fun stuff that's going to happen, and that's definitely Saturday. Did you see the marketing stuff that they put out for this?
I saw bits and pieces of it. Yeah,
man, like there was a Columbus Libraries group that's promoting like all these different events. Like, oh my God, hold on, let me bring this up, because there's so many people that are going to be in Columbus this weekend doing like pro lit stuff, and it's phenomenal. Like, let me find it.
Well, while you find it, let me tell the listeners that the Laughing Ogre is at 4258 North High Street right here in Columbus, Ohio. So if you got nothing going on between 2 and 4 in the afternoon on Saturday, stop by and say hello to Victor and, of course, Lisa. Don't want to leave her out.
You gotta. Okay, so check this out. We've got Dr. Eric Michael Dyson is going to be in town. Margot Singer is going to be here. Dr. Mary Frances Berry is going to be at Denison. We've got so many different things that are jumping off. The annual MLK Jr. Legacy Open Mic Night with Think Make Live, with host Courtney Chan or Taryn Alexander, this is so funny. So Courtney, she was working for City Year at South High School, and I was teaching my You Create stuff over there, and I haven't seen her in years. And she hits me up on Facebook and is like, hey, long time no see. I was like, how you been, girl? What's going on? And then here she is being promoted in the same, you know, context of all the hype stuff that's going on. I'm like, look at that. Look at what Columbus can do.
There you go.
This is a place, man.
It is. Do you have any other appearances coming up?
That I can talk about yet? Not quite.
Oh, hint, 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 wink, wink.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Your boy will be in some places, some familiar, some new, some capacities, you know, that you've seen me in, some that you've never seen me in coming up. That's all I'm going to say. Look for me. Follow me at Vantage In House. You'll get notices.
Okay, I was just going to say, all your social media is easy.
Yeah, it is.
At Vantage.
Baby. Yes. At Vantage In House on everything.
There you go. Victor, it's been fun, man, as it always is.
I hopefully I make this job easy for you.
Like, you do. You do. I didn't have to prepare much. I mean, I have some notes, but I mean, I was like.
good.
So, all right, Victor, thanks again for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm going to throw it to quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. So if you will, please stick around. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Victor Dandridge Jr., the hardest working man in comics. Definitely give him a follow at Vantage In-House, no matter if you're following him on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. It's all the same. But definitely give him a follow, then you can keep up to date about his new projects and where he's going to be and what he is doing. So at this time, I'd like to mention that today's podcast is also brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PBDcast. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is giving you the opportunity to check out their great service by offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial. So all you have to do to get your hands on that free audiobook is just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. And now's the time where I have to tell you where you can get in touch with me. We talked about Victor's social media just a few moments ago. Let me tell you about mine. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can drop me a line if you like via email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And if you want to let some folks know where they can get their hands on this podcast, well, let me tell you. You can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or through any of the various podcast platforms out there. Easy for me to say. Any of the podcast platforms out there, such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, SoundCloud, or just wherever you get your podcasts from, all you got to do is search PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put PVDcast John Orlando in that search engine, and you'll get your hands on this beloved podcast. With that, ladies and gentlemen, since I just stumbled over podcast platforms, I think it's time for me to get on out of here. I'm showing that I'm a little bit fatigued, huh? Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.